Thank you. I'm Edwin Ritchie. I'm a new extension soil specialist with the University of Kentucky, and be talking about spectral analysis today. Spectral analysis is an analytical tool that allows us to determine patterns, cyclic variation that goes on throughout a field. It determines the presence and establishes the intensity of periodic fluctuation of a measurement made along a sampling transect. We can generate an autocovariance function, which then is transformed into a frequency domain series and analyzed as a continuous function. It detects these cyclic patterns by estimating the proportion of total variation within a particular frequency. For example, we have a field that's growing a crop and irrigating it using furrow irrigation. We have water content on the Y, distance across the field on the X-axis. Underneath these furrows where the water, the irrigation water, is being applied, we have high water contents. Underneath the plant, where the plant is utilizing this water, we have low soil water content. Cyclic variation, a nice little sine wave. From this, we can develop an autocorrelogram and then transform it into a spectrum. This frequency is inverse distance measure of a cycle. So our cycle is 1 meter, inverse 1/1, we have a frequency of 1. Expanding this example a little bit, now we have a tractor that's driving along the field every 2 rows. It's trafficking right through here, these 3 bars. And under this, we have another underlying soil process. We might have a cover crop in this instance versus no cover, something that's different. Well, here's our initial frequency of 1. Our tractor, 1/2, our frequency is 0.5, 1/10, now we have a 0.1 frequency. Pretty powerful tool, detect things that a lot of times you wouldn't be able to. Tobacco relies heavily on tillage. A lot of cyclic patterns here. We have moldboard plow going through here. Here's a pattern. Traffic from the tractor. Another pattern. This disc going back and forth across the field. Another pattern. Transplanter. In Kentucky, we don't use ridges, but this is a good example of extremes. We have a ridge, tobacco row, furrow. Ridge, row, furrow, cyclic variation. We also have these tires going through the field, doing something to the underlying soil. More cyclic variation. And subsoiling. We have bars, subsoiling shanks going through the soil at anywhere from 25 to 50 centimeters at a set spacing. Also have these tires going across the field. Same thing, cyclic variation. I'm going to talk just a second about subsoil tillage. It's been shown to decrease bulk density and penetrometer resistance and increase yields when compaction was present. However, conversely, it also can reduce the bearing capacity of the soil. Any tillage, whether it be primary, secondary, or subsurface tillage, when you disrupt the structure, you're going to reduce the bearing capacity of that soil. When that bearing capacity is reduced, you're more prone to compaction. And 2 passes of a tractor following subsoil can recompact the soil to initial values. So you can subsoil, traffic it twice, and be back where you were initially. So the objective of this study was to determine the influence of primary tillage and subsoiling on penetrometer resistance. We're using spectral analysis to identify these specific relationships that could be related back to specific management events. The experiment was conducted at the University of Kentucky Ag Research Farm, located near Lexington, Kentucky. We were on a Maury silt loam soil. It was RCB split plot, had 4 replicates, 6-row plots, and these plots were in fescue sod for at least 3 years prior to initiating the study. We had well-structured soil going into this. We collected penetrometer resistance after crop removal to a depth of 50 centimeters at 5-centimeter increments, and we waited till adequate rainfall occurred. We had good water. So the differences that we were picking up in penetrometer differences were truly related to soil strength, not the differences in soil moisture. I started sampling penetrometer resistance at the center of row one every 10 centimeters all the way across the plot. And we went to the center of row six. Here's just a little diagram of the plot. Here's my six rows of tobacco. Expand this between rows one and two. I started right here at row one every 10 centimeters across. It's very important that we do every 10 centimeters. If you start getting a little bit funny with your measurements, this spectral analysis is not going to help you a whole lot. So when we get over here to row two, it didn't always fall on the middle of row two. We had to stay to our 10 centimeter sampling scheme, but we were never more than 5 centimeters away from that row. Here's our idealized traffic pattern. I could probably spend the whole 12 minutes just talking about this one slide, but briefly, our tilled system, we started with the mole bore plow. We'd plow one way so we wouldn't leave a dead furrow in our plot, circle around the plot, not traffic it, come back and plow. After we finished plowing, we disked twice, two trips across the field with a disk. Then we applied our fertilizer. It's not on this graph, but perpendicular to the plots, subsoiled, and did a little bit more driving over this plot with a disk and a soil finisher. Finally, we were able to set our tobacco. This is our tobacco setter, setting two rows at a time, down, back, and down. In our no-till system, nowhere near the traffic. Subsoil, and then we planted. So what I want to do is use the spectral analysis to help me understand what my penetrometer resistance data is. Can I detect any of these cyclic patterns that were imposed on our field during the planting and harvesting of our planting and preparation of the plot? Raw data for the penetrometer. I have the tilled system that was not subsoiled, penetrometer and megapascals on the Y, distance across the row on the X. Really, one big thing jumps out. We have two peaks right here. If you know what you're looking for, you can detect, hey, I have a plant row here about every 100 centimeters. But not a whole lot's just smacking you in the face. This is what's going on. Look at the tilled subsoil plots. Kind of the same thing. We see these two peaks and might be able to detect some rows. We want to use this spectral analysis to help us tease out some of the things, the operations that are going on. So going back, let's see if I can back up. These right here, these two peaks that are evident in the tilled system, can explain these by this. It's occurring right here in this area. Like I said, this is my idealized traffic pattern. I'm not saying the tractor actually did this, but chances are real good we just had a lot of overlap right here in this area. Moving on to the no-tilled system that was subsoiled, we can see a few more things. The rows are a little bit more evident in here, but still a lot of noise. Or I gave a talk to extension group one time, and the extension agent said, boy, there's a bunch of squigglies up there. Well, we're trying to make sense of these squigglies. In the no-till subsoil thing, we can see a few things. Here's probably where our subsoiler ran. It makes sense. But still a lot of squigglies we're trying to make sense of. So now we're going to apply the spectral analysis and see what we can find out. Instead of reporting my peaks as frequency, makes more sense, it's easier to understand, as distance measures. So the frequency is the inverse of the distance is the inverse of the frequency times the lag distance. My frequency of 0.047, the inverse of that times the lag distance results in 213 centimeter. This is my transplanter tire spacing. This is the axle that's sitting under the 300-gallon tank of water. It's carrying a lot of weight. 160 centimeters is the tire spacing for most of the tractors. We had three tractors that were on this field. They were all about 160 centimeters on center. And then 107 and 91 relate to the plant row or the subsoiler spacing. We didn't have a frequency between these two, so we have to kind of use some common sense, raw data, to figure out which frequency is related to which operation. So looking at the tilled system and the no-till, I have my power on the Y, frequency on the X, and the meaningful peaks I've represented the space. First thing that jumps out, this is down to 10 to 15 centimeters, but at 10 centimeters, we see a great amount of variance under this peak, under this frequency. This is the action of that transplanter driving across the field, compacting the soil. We also see a little bit here. Nice three peaks stacked right here on top of each other for 107 centimeters. This is the influence of the row, the plant row, whether it be the tobacco transplanter going through the soil and disturbing the soil to 15 centimeters, or the actual physical growing of the plant root over the season disturbing the soil. But this is a loosening process. This is a compaction process. Did I skip one? Here is my subsoil in the tilled treatment. One thing that really jumps out here at 160, this is my transplant or my tractor spacing for most of the tractors. A lot of variance under this frequency. Down to 35 centimeters, we're compacting the soil. However, we can also detect that we have some loosening going on by the subsoil. It's not as prominent as the compaction, but we can see that we're doing some loosening down to about 35 centimeters. In the tilled system, kind of the same thing. We can detect our transplanter, but it's not to the same extent as the influence of the plant row or the transplanter at the plant row. And then when we go down to the lower depth in the subsoil treatment, we can see that we've influenced this no-till system down to 40 centimeters. We're detecting a little bit of soil compaction down to 25 centimeters, but the more prominent observation here is that the loosening occurred more, was more resilient in the subsoil. So in concluding, we can detect transplanter influence at the row, the actual plant, to about 15 centimeters, usually about 10, but never below 15. And in the tilled system, the compaction was more evident than loosening. And conversely, in the no-till system, loosening was more evident than compaction. And we were allowed or able to detect this using the spectral analysis. It found these patterns that we could relate back to known management practices. I'd like to thank you, and if I saved any time for questions, we'll try to get through them. Any questions? Yes, sir.
In the no-till system, did you use a herbicide treatment to control the existing plants?
We did. I didn't have that pattern on there. I used a four-wheeler, so I didn't think that was going to really relate to much, but yes, we did. We use Roundup and Spartan and Command.
So, is your ability to pick up the loosening in the no-till system, is it because it's kind of a relative measurement, the spectral reading? In a tillage system, is the compaction give a bigger signal? You know what I mean? And then
yes.
When you don't till it, the loosening gives a bigger signal, but it's because compaction isn't present.
Yes, that's most of the variance. You're running along here, and at some frequency, there's something going on. There's more variance in the no-till because that is more disturbed. So yes, what you're saying is correct. If you were maybe running a tank on a track this wide across that no-till system, you'd probably be able to detect the compaction, but relatively speaking, that was the more influential.
And does the peak change then? So for loosening, is the peak size of the peat the same in a till versus no-till?
Every plot was different. You can compare within a analysis. One of those graphs we can look at and we can compare. But we can't go back and say, okay, we're going to compare a power of 2.5 to a power of 6.
Okay.
It's all relative within that one analysis, one graph.
Okay.
Any more questions? All right. Well, thank you.